Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
All right, folks, this episode's for anyone who thinks Gen Z just wants to coast, avoid hard work, or show up late with a TikTok excuse. Because today, we're bringing a young pro who's flipping that whole narrative on its head.
Yeah, Colin Tomey joins us to show what it really looks like when the next generation grabs the reins. We're talking real ownership, leading a team, launching a business, and navigating the chaos that comes with managing people, especially when they don't all think or work like you do.
This isn't a pep talk, it's a look under the hood. What does it take to lead before you're 30? How do you build respect when you're the youngest one in the room? And how do you create something that's yours while still honoring a family legacy?
If you're in leadership, hiring young talent, or just trying to make your workplace less of a circus and more of a team, this one's for you. Plus, we sneak in a little golf talk, but don't worry, it's not all about your swing. It's about your mindset.
So tune in, take notes, and maybe question a few assumptions while you're at it. Colin's the real deal, and this episode delivers way more than just BS.
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS. Brad, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And how is the Detroit Motor City treating you today?
Detroit Motor City, it is nice. It is a balmy 50 degrees outside. It is great.
Awesome.
We love it. We love it. How is the greater Milwaukee area treating you?
It is, according to my watch, 67 degrees outside right now. Would rather be golfing than sitting here right now recording this afternoon, which brings into a lot of other things we're going to get through today.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, it is full spring, full on. Pool opening next week. Lots of...
Oh, nice.
Summer is here.
No. Not yet. Don't rush the great season of spring, because it is a phenomenal season.
Yeah, but
it's not hot.
It's like 3 days. It's, you know better than that. It's like 3 days. Enjoy them.
Exactly. So, Brad, who do we have on the show today?
Today, we have a young gentleman, another Gen Z, who we have crossed paths in life because of the game of golf. He worked at the club that we affectionately call here locally Bushwood, otherwise known as Fairways of Woodside. He got to see me in my great attire here at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday after he came in all hungover and ready to go. And why are you guys here so early? To ruin his mornings. He is now the golf head professional out at Castle Rock here in Wisconsin. And he started his own CT Golf Performance LLC to help golfers be better at the game and enjoy the game. Mr. Colin Tomey.
Brad, welcome. Steve, thank you for letting me on the show today. Super excited to kind of dive in and into the golf business.
So is the barrier to entry pretty high to get on this show?
Yeah, it is. Hanging out with you too, yo. Yep.
Absolutely. So I know Brad already answered this question with his introduction, but for the sake of asking the only question we have formalized on the show, which generation do you identify with, Colin?
I am part of Gen Z.
Oh, that is fantastic with the business acumen and Gen Z. This is going to be a phenomenal conversation today, Brad.
This is going to be a great conversation because he's starting up his own gig. Part of a family business entity at the place he's at right now.
Yep.
He gets to do hiring and firing now. He gets all those things. So he's got the power. So how does it feel to have power as a young Gen Zer in the golf industry?
Well, it's great. You know, it puts a lot of pressure though, you know, only being 22 years old and hey, hiring and firing, you know, 30, 40 year olds, you know, it's a different look. It's not something you see every day. So how
are you handling that situation, and what support are you getting from the owners of the course, so to speak?
Yeah. So honestly, right now, I obviously transitioned from the Milwaukee area all the way out to Mawson, Wisconsin, and working for a family business. And when I basically transitioned, my goal was to understand what the family wanted, right? I need to understand their staff. I need to understand their margins. I need to understand the memberships. The members need to kind of really just sit tight and understand those things for the first, you know, few months as I'm out here. when I came into here, came out to Castle Rock, you know, I was super excited, right? I wanted to bring all these new ideas to the table, you know, hire new people, right? Wanted to do all those things, right? And being young, being part of the Gen Z, you know, you just want to go. But that was kind of the mistake that I made. I was like, okay, Kyle, you need to slow down a little bit. You need to, analyze the market, analyze what you're dealing with the family, and kind of understand what is transpiring on a day-to-day basis.
So help our audience understand you the feeling of coming in gung-ho with all these new ideas. Kind of let us know what were those new ideas that you had before the kind of pulling back a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. So
that's what we do here, Colin. We ask great questions.
So, like I said, I'm from the, you know, Milwaukee market, right? And obviously, kind of west of Wisconsin Dells, people don't think there's much going on, and they have a point. But what I bring to the table, though, is a bunch of fun events, coordinated outings, coordinated events for many golfers. And my goal is to try to bring that to Castle Rock. Obviously, I can't jump the gun. So my first month into working out of the golf course out of Castle Rock, basically ran one event. I was like, hey, Jody, Molly, here's a deal. I know that you guys don't want me to jump the gun, but let me just run one event and let me just run it my way and give me some feedback as we kind of go. Ran the event, was very successful, and they liked what they saw, and we kind of build from there. So what I like to call that is a quick win right there, you know. Get a little taste of what Colin brings to the table, and then from there, build that trust.
We're talking wow. First person. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So, how was the initial reception of you with the idea received?
Challenging, because it goes back to being part of Gen Z, goes back to being 22 years old and, you know, only being in the golf business for 5 to 6 years, you know, so it's, you have that little chip on your shoulder right off the bat. But that's why, you know, I went up to the owners. I said, hey, give me one event, give me one shot at this, and then give me as much feedback as you can.
Okay. Let's go into, so you had to figure out how to go out and earn their trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about trust for a minute. Did you go into the relationship fully trusting the family, or did you believe that they needed to gain trust from you, right? Did you come in 100% all in, we trust what the family is doing, or did you come in skeptical along the way?
Skeptical along the way, because, you know, they were not familiar about what I've done previously, you know, at Fairways of Woodside, or what my previous experience was. So, you know, I was skeptical at the start, but like I said earlier, you know, if you get those quick wins and, you know, you start showing a little success, you know, with the revenue, even with seasonal constraints right off the bat, they start, you know, looking at the numbers, then, you know, you start to gain trust.
Okay, good. And then, so how are you gaining trust within the staff members who are most likely older than you and may have great relationships with the family?
Yeah, using sir and ma'am, starting off with, right? Hey, can you help me with this, sir? Can you help me with this, ma'am? You know, even though they're part, you know, even though they're employee, right? I'm going to still treat them as, you know, any other individual as I would. That's how I kind of treat my members, and that's how I treat my staff. And, you know, everyone's going to get treated the same.
Interesting. The reason I'm saying interesting, one, the use of sir and ma'am didn't offend anyone?
No. But I mean, on the age side, sure. A little bit like, oh, you call me ma'am? Like, are you insulting me a little bit for calling me old? But, you know, that's the background I came in from. You know, it's the sirs, yep. It's the ma'ams, it's the respect. And like I said, I come from Gen Z, and not many Gen Zers, you know, use those phrases. And to me, that's a sign of respect.
Yes, it is. There's so many dynamics here. I want to peel back the onion on. I just it's like which direction are we going to go?
Go.
I'm looking at Brad
just
going.
Go.
Just all right. Let's break it down a little bit more. Obviously, Gen Z, on average, how much older is everybody than you?
At that golf course, there's a big gap. I probably say on average, close to 20 years. Yeah, so we're talking, you know, mid 40s, early 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
to old fuckers like you, Steve.
Really? We're going to go down that path, Brad?
Comparatively, right? It's all about...
Comparatively, I'm in that group. So perceptions are everything, right? Especially with the older, somebody that quote unquote is more experienced than a Gen Z. What did they feel, or do you know what they felt, or, and I'm looking at it through the lens of, was there some animosity or like, why not me type scenarios coming in when you first came in into that kind of like management role?
Yeah, for sure. And you can also think of that as a little selfish, right? You know, only being 22 years old and having this opportunity, not many people get that. So
it's a massive opportunity.
It is.
Right. So there's a lot of pressure, you know, with that, but, you know, it keeps me disciplined, you know, it keeps me disciplined throughout the day. And, you know, I'm a very communicative person. So, you know, if I'm not there, I still got to be communicating with them, whether that's, you know, via phone, you know, answering all these phone calls, right? Everything, you know, you always have to be communicative in business.
So do you communicate through them with like MySpace or Facebook or things like that? Just curious.
MySpace. What a dick.
No. We don't get on that personal level, Steve.
I'm just sorry. I had to throw that out there. It's a generational thing. Like, you know, Brad used to use MySpace. So
no, I used to use a telephone and actually meet in person and actually show up at a spot when you said, hey, we'll be there at 6:30. And I didn't have to call and text everybody to make sure they're going to be there. Cause you know what? They showed up
because they just showed up. So,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. So Colin, as you are also entering that entrepreneur side of things with your own CT Performance LLC of mental stability for golf, which is a lifetime of, right? That's just money, mailbox money, because it is the most mentalist games of all that are out there. So where'd that entrepreneurial piece come from? What made you decide to go down that path to say, I'm going to do this as well?
Funny enough, it came back from my two previous jobs. I worked at a retail store called PGA Superstore, and my issue there was...
I spend money there quite a bit.
Right, yeah, it's a great place to lose your wallet, right? But my issue was, learning at a young age, was I needed to have a little bit of control and say about what I wanted to do in life. You know, if I'm working at a retail store, right, I got to deal with corporate, I got to deal with regional managers, I got to deal with
corporate, oh my goodness.
Right, I got to deal with all this crap. So when I got, you know, new ideas to the table, it's like, oh, I got to go through this person, I got to go through this person, and then it's got to get approval. You know, just a whole line that you have to get through compared to, hey, here's an idea, let's go, let's do it. And so that's kind of where my entrepreneur side kind of came from. That's kind of what motivated me, where, hey, I need a little say, I need a little bit, you know, more control. And the other thing too is, you know, it's nice to have that second source of income. If one thing kind of goes bad, it's nice to have, you know, something that's there for a little security.
Okay. So as you indicated, okay, corporate this, got a regional sales manager, we got these targets to hit, we got different things. So what are you taking away from that experience to bring into your business?
That's a very great question.
Again, it's what we do here.
You know, I don't have a best answer for that, because I think for me, it was just more selfishness, honestly, because, you know, I felt like I had a lot of great ideas and I wanted to use them and I wanted to try them. And so that's why I came up with CT Golf Performance, where, hey, you know, this is my little factory. This is where, hey, you know, I can try all these different things. And hey, if it fails, it fails. If it succeeds, it succeeds, you know. And being in business for only, you know, a year now, you know, you just got to keep trying new things. So,
okay. So from that perspective, if it fails, it fails. If it succeeds, it succeeds. What's your expectation? What's your expectation of CT Golf Performance?
My goal is to help my students more on the mental side than more Swain analytics, if that makes sense.
1,000%, because that is what I'm focusing on for 2025 is eliminating the mental dumbfuckery.
Right. And so, you know, it's going out of the golf course and, okay, you got your scorecard, right? It's one thing to write your scores down, right? But it's another thing to write down your putts, your greens and regulations, you know, your fairways hits, right? And that goes the same thing with business, right? Keep track of one thing, but then there's three or four other things that, you know, kind of follow along with that. So you know, that's what I try to preach on with my business, because most of golf instructors in the state right now, they teach the golf swing, right? This is what you should do. But they don't teach more of the therapeutic side, the mental side of the game.
So what are the three or four things for your business that you are tracking?
Great question. Great question, Brad.
Great. Hey, yes. Again, that's what we do here.
So what I like to keep track of is, so I basically had this subscription with this app called V1 Golf, and that basically helps me communicate with my customers on a daily basis. So I send them a little video of their swing, and then, you know, after lesson, they have feedback. So if they go on the golf course and they're playing, it's not like, oh, what did Colin say to me 2 weeks ago? It's, oh, I can pull out my phone, click on this app, and I can go through every golf lesson that I had with Colin, and I can look back and say, oh, okay, that is what he, you know, that's what he previously stated. Okay. So that's one thing I bring to the table, I guess, is direct communication again, that I talked about earlier. And then, you know, just keeping track of results and making sure that my customers are practicing. You know, it's one thing to give them advice, but it's another thing to, you know, execute what I teach.
I just really want to know how you're going to work with Brad in getting the ball in the hole. That's all I really want to know. You just got to go home. You got to take, got to give it a little tap, tap, tap and get it.
Tappy, tap, tappy, tap, 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 tap.
Honestly, I think we just take him to the 19th hole and that's just how you get the ball in the hole, right?
Tequila usually works.
Exactly.
How are you setting expectations, daily expectations with your staff members, particularly the older ones? And then what are your tactics or techniques and advice you might give to younger tradesmen or younger folks that might be in manufacturing or wherever they might be in life that might be leading a team? What are those things you are doing to make sure that the relationships stay intact and that results are still getting met?
Another great question.
He prepped for this interview, didn't you?
He did. He must have.
He's so respectful, you little fucker.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, gloves off, just so you know, Colin. Gloves off. Go for it.
My goal is, like I go back to, it comes down to communication with my staff. If they have any issues, especially during out the day, here's my cell phone number. Call me. If you have an issue, call me directly, or if you know, you're struggling with something, ask me. You know, I'm always there to, you know, help out. And if I do that, I also earn a little bit more respect, especially at a young age, right? It's very difficult to look at a 40-year-old and be like, hey, I'm managing you, or hey, can you do this for me? You know, it's different. And so you have to make sure that you're respectful. You got to make sure that your message is very clear and very direct to them. And it leads to less issues, to me, is what I've been seeing. And then, you know, for my generation, a lot of people in the trades right now, you know, they're only going to school for 2 years. You know, get out there, go explore, go learn, get into the industry that you want to be in and learn as much as possible, because you're going to learn more about being in the industry if you're working compared to spending 4 years at a school reading a book. So,
What leadership advice do you have for Gen Z's?
Ooh, another great question.
Trained.
You're getting me good. Be honest. That's the key to, I think that is the biggest key to leading. You have to be honest, even when you're wrong. When you're wrong.
How honest is honest?
Yeah.
For me, it's 100%. Okay. It's 100%. I know there's a variety of answers to that question, obviously, but I have to be 100% truthful with my staff. And I also have to admit, hey, if I screw it up, I screw it up, and I have to admit that I screw it up. And if I do that, then that'll get my staff, oh, okay, Colin admit that he was wrong here. Then I got to do the same if he, you know, if I get myself into that predicament. That kind of best answers that question a little bit.
Okay. So general manager, that I assume that also means you have food and bev, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Food and bev is a opportunity for additional margin and revenue within the industry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are in Wisconsin. We tend not to follow beverage guidelines in many cases. So if you're going into an organization that has been run the way it's been run forever and a day, and somebody's asking for a double tall and they're getting 2.5, 3 for their talls, how are you working to get them back into cadence so that margins and profitability and sustainability can be where it needs to be? How are you working on behavioral changes to also help the business thrive?
Basically, so let's take a bottle of Tito's for a second. And the cap, basically, if I pour the drink, it basically measures that shot. So it automatically, okay, pour, and then it stops. Pour again if you want a double, pour, and then it stops. So basically, what we do is we try to avoid all those situations by executing the little stuff. Here you go. It's already measured for you. All you got to do is pour. That's it. So that's kind of the piece that...
Too restrictive. What if they just pop the... pop the top off.
Yeah, that's why we got cameras. the owners will keep an eye on that. And then the other thing too is, when I first, again, transferred from Milwaukee to Boston, my goal was, hey, what's your favorite drink? What do you guys like to drink? What do you guys want on tap? What do you guys like for your liquor? Ask those questions. And the more I ask those questions, make the members happy to come out, have a beer, have a drink after the round, and they're drinking the stuff that they want.
All right. So what are the top three taps up at the club at Castle Rock? What are the top three taps?
You'd be surprised, but we got this brewery in Boston called Gravity Box. So we got a Hillsboro. We got a bunch of these unknown brands that you would think of. Some light lagers on there, which is nice. And then your traditional Spotted Cow, Coors Light, Miller Light. So yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Interesting. I'm dying to know one question though, Colin. Have you ever said anything that you wish you could take back?
This morning, honestly. Yes, this morning, actually. You got me good. I got into a little bit of an argument this morning. So we have we have our staff mowing on the back nine at around, let's say 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I got tea time starting out at 8:30, right? So I get a phone call at 10:45. And Brad, you know, pace of play, you know, golf, right? So I got people turning after nine. And headed towards 10 tee box, and I got my staff giving me a call. And they go, "WTF, Colin? What the hell is this? What the hell is this? I'm trying to do my work." And I'm like, "Boys, it's 10:45, getting close to 11 o'clock. I had people teeing off on one's tee box at 8:30. They're keeping up with their pace. What are you guys doing?" So. There was a little bit of an argument this morning that, yeah, I had some choiceful words at the moment. I'm like, I went up to him like, "Sir, I gave you two solutions and you're still giving me a complaint. What do you want me to do? I'm trying to generate revenue. We're trying to pound rounds. I missed out on 4 to 5 weeks of revenue and you're going to complain about this. How about we start a little bit earlier in the day?" Some words that I wish I could have taken out this morning, but I was just like, you know what? Trying to send a little bit of direct message. So,
so Colin, people want to find you. They want to maybe get better on the mental side of golf. They want to maybe check out what Castle Rock has to offer up in Boston. How do people find you, get a hold of you? What do they do? Where do they connect with you?
Yeah. Go check out ctgolfperformance.club. I got my Facebook, CT Golf Performance LLC. And then to contact me, my phone number is 262-391-3921, and contact me if you have any inquiries or any questions, or if you're looking to play around out at Castle Rock Golf Course.
That's spectacular. Colin, thank you for sharing all the stuff that you're going through, particularly from a younger person's perspective, because often we're blinded by our own perceptions, our own values. So yes. I appreciate you taking the time to share with our audience today, even though it might be a tangential industry, but it's still an important piece because you are a very young gentleman with a great opportunity in front of you. And I am confident that you will surround yourself with the right people to be successful with it. So congratulations to you.
Thank you, Brad. And thank you, Steve, for having me on today.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks.
Great to have you here. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.